This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, Dave.
Today we're talking about your article titled Cook County Needs Cajones. The first time I've seen Spanish in the title of one of your articles.
I didn't write the headline, but...
You don't speak Spanish, do you?
I know what cajones means.
That's a train car, isn't it?
Hello.
And that article appeared on January 21st, 2010. This is where Ben reveals his recommendation or his choice for the Democratic nomination for county board president in the February 2nd primary. And in this article, you talk about the four Democratic candidates for the nomination. And I want to talk about a couple of the details around actually tax increment financing logistics before we get to talk about the candidates. One of the things you mentioned in your article is that roughly 10% of the $500 million taken by the city of Chicago through tax increment financing districts each year would have gone to Cook County. How did you calculate that?
The way it works is this. The TIF take is proportional to how much of your tax bill goes to each taxing body. So the county takes roughly 10% of a tax bill.
Did you look at a number of tax bills to come to that percentage?
Yeah.
Did you look at mine?
No, I didn't look at yours.
I sent you mine. Along those lines, you mentioned something called the Joint Board of Review, which I hadn't heard before and is actually mentioned in an interview with Michael Jasso, a deputy commissioner of the Chicago Department of Community Development, about whom we talked last week. In the interview that we talked about last week, he said that all of the taxing bodies who would have their property tax revenues siphoned off by a new TIF district must approve the new TIF district. At what point in the process of that approval does this Joint Board of Review give its approval?
I've written about the Joint Board of Review. I would urge all listeners to read an article that had a very clever headline, which I can't take credit for, something like Pass the Donuts. Just look for the word donuts, and you'll get a sense of what the Joint Board of Review is. But to answer your question, the Joint Board of Review consists of lower-level bureaucrats from each of the taxing bodies who funnel their tax dollars to the TIF program, and they gather for a meeting, which is completely scripted from start to finish. At that meeting, they formally approve the TIF. They give their consent to creating the new TIF district. The Joint Board of Review, they sit around a table, these lower-level functionaries, and do whatever they're told.
Now, this is before the CDC?
I think it's sort of at the same time, and I don't know that the law prescribes that one come before the other. Both of them have to act before the city council gets the proposed TIF.
And is a Joint Board of Review meeting scheduled for each new proposed TIF district, or are there regularly scheduled meetings?
There's no reason for the board to meet unless there's a new TIF to discuss.
Got it.
They gather in a conference room in City Hall. Coffee and donuts are served, hence the title, Pass the Donuts, and it's literally scripted. Whoever is the chairman of the meeting, and it's sort of an acting chair for each meeting, reads from the state TIF code, which has got to be one of the most confusing pieces of legislation on earth. And they say, like, pursuant to Section 924 of the state tax increment financing code, we are now having our meeting. And then, pursuant to the code, we must vote on this proposal. All in favor, and they go around the room, and they all say aye, and there you go.
Is this meeting open to the public?
Of course, yeah, it has to be open to the public, and generally, you got to get early to get your tickets because it's just getting there. Yeah, it's open to the public. There's never more than, at best, two or three people there.
How does the public find out about these?
How do you find out about it? That's a great question. It's not listed on any website that I know of. I throw that out to our listeners to find out, how do you know about these meetings? I've been to a couple of these meetings, and I only knew about them because I was actively pursuing the TIF story I was writing about, particularly the LaSalle Central TIF, which I write about in this week's article, which I think was one of the great debacles of this decade when it comes to public policy in Chicago, that after 20-odd years of TIF abuse, the city would so routinely, without any oversight, without even really anybody raising a question, pass another downtown TIF on the eve, by the way, of this financial meltdown where all these taxing bodies are scrambling to raise money. And the Joint Board of Review, I went to that meeting, and there was absolutely no public debate on it whatsoever. Now, the curious thing about that particular TIF is that came at a time when a commissioner by the name of Mike Quigley, who has since moved on to Congress, was raising TIFs as an issue, and he demanded, he had a press conference, that the county board, before it approved, before it had its representative on that Joint Board of Review, before that representative voted on that proposed TIF, that the county board have a hearing on it. And so the county board would then require city officials to come before it and explain and justify the TIF.
Talk about cojones.
Yes, big time. The hearing never happened. The county board buried his proposal for TIF oversight. But one thing they did do is that in that particular TIF, they instructed their representative, some, again, minor functionary from the bureaucracy, to take a no-vote stand or a pass.
Abstention.
Abstention. I don't know if it was exactly an abstention, a vote present, whatever. But that representative did not, in fact, endorse the proposed TIF, nor did he vote against it.
So Quigley did have some effect.
Yes, if you call that an effect.
I said some effect.
Okay, some effect. And I give him credit for even raising the issue. As far as I know, the county board since then has never discussed a proposed TIF. And now I see, we've talked about this, there's going to be another downtown TIF that the city is going to create that will largely replace the Central Loop TIF that expired in 08. I think it's incumbent upon the county board, before this TIF is created, to at least have some investigation of the tax ramifications if they truly are going to represent themselves as guardians of the public purse. But I don't think it'll happen, even if Toni Preckwinkle, and that's the candidate that I reveal I will vote for, even if she becomes president. I just think the mayor's hold on the county board is too strong for them to show any independence.
Speaking of Toni Preckwinkle, in previous conversations that you and I have had, it seemed to me that your main objection to Toni Preckwinkle as county board president was that she supported the 2016 Olympics bid. And it looks now like you've had to swallow that objection to make what I would characterize as a least of all evils choice in the county board president's primary. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, Dave, I like to think on some level I'm pragmatic, but it was swallowing. I was very disappointed by the stance Toni Preckwinkle took on the Olympics. I will say this. She at least entertained my questions when I called to ask her about the Olympics. She stood by her stance, which is that she thought it would benefit her community, and if it was going to benefit her community, she wanted a hand in shaping it, and she was critical of various phases of the Olympic proposal. So she was like paying attention. Again, in terms of a standard of Chicago aldermen and their reaction to Daly's Olympics, she was at the top. At least she was paying attention and commenting. I have very low standards, as you can see. But I was disappointed that she supported the Olympics. I was disappointed that she championed a very ill-advised proposal, in my opinion, and that is spending all that public tax dollars to buy Michael Reese Hospital. Now we're stuck with trying to develop it. And I just can't imagine what's going to happen there. I think it's just going to be an albatross. So I was very disappointed with that. But unless I'm just going to drop out of the electoral process altogether, which I've entertained from time to time, or unless I'm just going to avoid the Democratic primary, I have to make a decision who I'm going to vote for. And I found her the least objectionable of the four candidates. Put it this way. I'll try to spin it a different way. Based on her past performance, I had the most hope that she would use that position to challenge some of the more outrageous proposals coming from the mayor and to also oversee the county in some sort of equitable and efficient manner.
All right, listeners, you've just gotten the Jourovsky recommendation, though you still have the time to decide to go with the Republican primary on the election day. Ben Jourovsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.